When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hanford and Michael Sidgwick, here to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a media quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Hamlet and Sidgwick to look ahead to Raw tonight, the penultimate Raw before WrestleMania, with a rather big return on it tonight.
Yeah, I described SmackDown over the last month or so as basically being one extended kickoff to WrestleMania. The match content in terms of quality and quantity has gotten an awful lot lighter as that show has relied on angles, in most cases really well received storyline developments and the like, to just get to WrestleMania, and people are mostly content with it. It's 2 hours on a Friday night and you're getting most of the big stars. Raw just can't do that, and Christ, I wish it could, because every now and then there's a match that you're genuinely excited about. But
is there?
Shock of all shocks, like 3 hours is too long. So you're still tired by the end. I think most Raws lately, because most of the stories think going into WrestleMania are pretty good, have had something like a pretty strong takeaway. But then you look at this card and there's loads of stuff on it and some of it still seems superfluous. And what was it? The penultimate Raw before WrestleMania?
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's just a symptom of too much wrestling, isn't it? 6:05.
AEW got to do with Raw being crap, mate.
Just makes me, I'm pissed off with the people that think the extra hour is a good thing. That's what we were talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
But you're hard on for this.
I do, yeah. Because this is going to be the exact problem with this Raw. Like, the things that are going to be exciting in and of themselves are not going to make for a complete exciting show or an exciting experience. Mm. And I think we're getting that with SmackDown. I'm really enjoying the 2 hour experience of SmackDown, whereas I'm finding these Raws.
Included in those 2 hours is more things other than the bloodline. And you're enjoying all of it. Enjoying
Trey, Paul, Threat, Mysterio, Drama, Showcase, Four-Way Tag. apart from that. Other than that, the power's back. Like, SmackDown with the Mysterio crack.
Tell you what, I'm going to be bored shitless during the next 20 minutes and between the hours of 5 and 7 or something, whatever it is.
Keep
tomorrow
listening.
Morning. I got a bit emotional watching Kevin and Sammy.
Yes.
I said, right, and I might not get the chance to say this, depending on who's on the show and who isn't, I had a big problem with a segment on Raw either last week or the week before, where I was like, Kevin Owens, what's your problem? You're lacking credibility as a character for me because you've been worse to Sammy than Sammy ever was to you. It just so happens that what Sammy did to you was more recent than all the worst things you've done to Sammy. But have some perspective and realize, you know what? Am I the asshole in this Reddit trend? Mm-hmm. Yes, you're the asshole. Be a baby face and kind of own up to that and stop dicking around, because you should make friends with them. And what a twist. Why don't you want to be my friend? Why does it have to be all business? Like, I want to go to war with someone who's my friend.
Mm.
Why can't we be friends? Like, they do want to be friends. And they had a cuddle, and it was like crying like a little kid.
You were playing kid games.
I was playing kid games. You see that episode of Sunny? It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where Dennis runs into his high school crush. hurriedly marries her and then realizes, she's the worst.
Yeah. Divorce!
Yeah. Before he realizes that Maureen Ponderosa is actually the worst, he has this conversation with Mac. And he's like, you know, I'm having feelings again, like I'm a little kid. Remember feelings? Mac goes, yeah, remember feelings. I have feelings every single day. You're telling me you don't have feelings? He said, I'm having feelings again. That was me watching Kevin and Sammy. I'm telling you now, I can watch the show. I can watch the WWE show. I've been doing it professionally for 7 years. I've been watching it in my recreational time for considerably longer than that. I've reached a point where the amount of just dead-end storylines and terrible characterization and awful dialogue and just the worst commentary, the most insulting commentary you've ever heard in your entire life, I watch it like this. It's just my face, just watching it. Inside is a void, a hole, God hole, where God used to be, right? And I just can watch it and think, sometimes, on the rarest of occasions, that's great. That's absolutely great, that is. Planet's champion Daniel Bryan, the conclusion of Kofi Mania, various other things that have ruled. Brock Lesnar versus AJ. I watched the transition into the Calf Crusher on a Twitter MP4 and thought, that's great. I hate so much about it that I see the logo and I hear Michael Cole, I'm just instantly out. Just instantly out. And I watched Kevin and Sammy have a cuddle. And I was like, power's back. I just loved it. And it did resolve a big complaint of mine with this build in the most heartwarming, lovely fashion imaginable. I thought it was tremendous. And remember feelings, bro? I had feelings. I will not have any feelings about this.
I love the fact.
Time to get to WrestleMania for me.
I love the fact it cut to Cody just smiling backstage.
Well, I made this point on the SmackDown Reviewsage. I felt there was something to that beyond just how cute a shot that was. I could have been like, I did it. Like Roman being like, oh, like we were Dusty's kids and you were never Dusty's kids. Dusty's kid. And now Cody's gone and got some Dusty's kids of his own. And they're like Cody's kids.
Yes.
And it's just sort of worked out. It's like, I don't need to be Dusty's kids. I got kids of my own.
It's a bit funny.
I see what I need to go and get. I need to go and get a couple of Dusty's kids and make them my kids. And it's just
getting away with this Cody insertion, I think. Mm. Rather than it being this absolutely incredible, organic feeling, this is how it should be feeling. They are stealing one, but it's fine. That's my way of putting it. Doesn't necessarily belong together. It's a bit forced, but it's two rights making a right, if that makes any sense. Two good things that don't necessarily belong to one another that are still in and of themselves so good that it just about works. They look like it's children. And it's weird, it doesn't not work.
Do you consider this a case of my old friend, your old enemy, good plotting? Or not? Because I argued that it is. I think it's excellent working backwards plotting. They had so many. There were so many ways in which that this could have gone horribly wrong. This Cody with Sammy, Cody with the both of them, attempting to push three baby faces at the same time. Like your praise of that. Do you include the fact that this has been worked out well? Like, I feel like they've foreseen this, and
it's the best possible means of including Cody. Yeah. But it's always going to be a little bit weird.
Because the Cody working out at the gym, say on Raw, and just not bothered about SmackDown business would have been very WWE, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Like, you've got this tag team. Like
almost scared to put them in the same orbit. It's not.
And then at WrestleMania, they face each other. I noticed that you were fighting tag team champions, the Usos. Yes. And we noticed that you were fighting champion Roman Reigns, and they are in the same
stable. It's well plotted. It's just they look reduced next to Cody by design, and it has to be that way. Mm.
I need to see Power Team USA Canada just once before WrestleMania. Like the three of them. Yeah. Like I think it's going to be Imperium on the Go Home SmackDown. Just the three of them on the same side of the ring. Yeah. The best friends. Win all the belts.
As part of that, of course, Roman Reigns returns to Raw. That was genuinely accidental. on tonight's show to see if Cody Rhodes, in Paul Heyman's words, will acknowledge him. Since probably not.
Probably not. But I like that Roman has plenty to pour over since he was last on television. So we've had Sammy and Kevin have found their way back together, which Roman theoretically should acknowledge because it impacts the bloodline. And I think a lot of people are going to be watching here, I would like to think, for Roman's response to Jey Uso, or the little looks between the two of them. Because twice now, Jey Uso has said, yep, I'm bloodline, yep, I'm Usos, it's family, it's family, it's family. And twice, he's kind of been like, apart from this dickhead who I absolutely hate and I'm stuck with. Like, he's kind of putting out front now that he's here for Jimmy and to a lesser extent Solo, and yeah, that's pretty much it. So I'm really excited to watch how they play with the tension between Roman and Jey Uso, if it's there. I know it's just Roman on the graphic now, but you'd like to think it's where he goes, the bloodline follow, and you carry on the momentum. They're just, the brand split's abandoned for this story at this point anyway. So I'd like to see a direct follow-up from SmackDown. I want to see Roman and Jey stuff. Roman and Cody is ready, but they've surprised me before with how they've developed stuff with Cody and Paul Heyman. I thought the handshake segment on SmackDown was way more effective when Cody followed up on Raw. So I'm going to like let this play out. It does feel like this would be the week where they would just be going over, rehashing the old lines because the program's ready. But they've surprised and impressed me constantly, so maybe there's yet another detail that's going to show itself.
Do you think this opens the show or main events it?
I don't know. Does it make a difference?
I just don't know whether... I was just watching that there and thinking, do you
they like opening with Roman. His numbers.
You've asked me a question there. You've asked me a question and I feel duty-bound to answer it. Okay. Yeah, I see that coming. Is that the song there?
It's not bad, Jim.
I've genuinely forgotten what the rules theme is.
Tell me more of the words and I'll sing it.
I can't give you the money.
We're going out tonight.
Hey. Going out tonight. Oh,
there's a light in the box. It's a dog in a box. Get my hammer quick. Oh, God, my dad's coming. Smash them down.
Open show. What I think will happen will be some kind of WrestleMania chat, obviously. I think that they will... Maybe they'll trust the audience. By that, I mean maybe the incredibly obvious looks to one another that aren't necessarily scripted exposition, but aren't also glaringly obvious. They'll do more... if you pay real attention to that 3-minute close-up shot where it's unmistakable, you'll see a little bit of conflict on Jey Uso's face, yeah, where people think it's high art. They'll do more of that.
Yeah.
Because the idea is going to be at WrestleMania to a degree protect Cody, to protect Roman, and to build a big Roman-Jey match down the line. I think Jey is going to come out when the ref is bumped, echo of 2019, just go, nah, and then just walk straight back out. But in order to build that and make people, make that credible, he has to do more of his acting tonight.
Yeah. No, I'm not against it. I saw it, it's just reminded me, by the way. I saw, I'm with you on this Elite stuff, this latest coming together, but there was like, it got some blowback. Did you see that online? There was some corners like, oh, bloody hell, these again. Like, and I thought it was tremendous. But I did see it referred to as really good. Like, there was the still frame. I cannot remember who tweeted this. I'm sorry if it was somebody that listens to this podcast. It was like the last closing shot of Dynamite. And it was like, oh, Christ, get ready for a summer of art house bloodline. I thought that was kind of superb. Like,
the correct way around.
Yeah, I know.
Is that the bloodline is a
it's popcorn
straight to video elite melodrama.
Yeah.
We got an intriguing intriguing sneak peek into the future, potentially, of one of the best people on the Raw roster right now, Montez Ford. Obviously, we had the Angelo Dawkins-Austin Theory match last week.
Contrived dollars.
And, Montez Ford takes on Austin Theory tonight. Austin Theory just, well, less than 2 weeks away, of course, from facing John Cena for the United States Championship at WrestleMania. So I sense he's probably not going to lose here. But yeah, exciting to see Montez Ford in singles action.
Just get the split over with and push them on respective brands. Maybe a feud if you want. Look, it is a bit contrived how everyone that Dawkins has a match with, then Ford has a match with them to further the storyline. and it's especially pronounced in every match made on North American episodic TV is contrived in some way. It's not a random generated fixture. It's not a set of fixtures announced in advance like the Premier League or the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of have to contrive these things, but when there's no title implications or anything else, it just feels like every match is not a match but a means to an end. The end is a storyline. The matches are immaterial to what's going on, which makes me invest less in the matches in and of themselves because they are only ever a vehicle with which to accomplish something. The action should be more than passable.
Oh, that was the end of the sentence.
I was trying to think of something else to say. Do I care about Austin Theory?
I feel like there's a narrative opportunity that will be missed because it's Austin Theory. They're telling a not bad losing streak story with the Street Profits, mm-hmm. and Montez Ford specifically. He was overexcited with the potential and the opportunity at Elimination Chamber,
mm-hmm.
obviously to try and win Austin Theory's title, and he lost. And he played up to that. If you remember in the match, it was like constant suck it stuff and people's elbow teases, and he was just buzzing to be in this singles match where he was, I'm going to win it all, I'm going to be the best. And it was like, it's kind of an in-character, you over-egged it this time, but maybe next time you'll get it right. But then the Street Profits have continued to lose, and they're so charismatic and brilliant in the ring that it's been a rare case of an effective losing streak gimmick because people haven't lost faith in them. It's as if fans can maybe see this split and want to support the story through than it is thinking, oh, these are just losers now. Because typically that would be when you just stop backing.
Yeah.
It's not really happened.
I agree with that.
It's not really happened. And Austin Theory winning here could really play into his match with John Cena because he could really clip Montez Ford's wings and just be like, I'm the complete professional wrestler. Like, you're out of your depth now, Cena. And, like, you think you were a great US champion in 2015 or you were a legendary figure.
The US title's got now to do with
nothing
this.
Nothing in it, is it? And it's just like, oh, it'd be great if they were like, Austin Theory has replaced John Cena in every single theoretical category that Cena once fulfilled. I just don't think they're going to do that. I think it will be more of your rank and file Raw mid-card match, and that's a shame. Because I think people want to buy into this Street Profits thing and going along with it since, they lost the tag title rights to the Usos last summer and it's pretty much been like a downward spiral ever since. Mm-hmm. The split, it's starting to show itself. It might just scan as a mid-card match instead. And it's a shame because I think there's stuff there you can do with this one.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
After an attack on Trish Stratus last week, I sense that this week Becky, Lita, and Trish will be out for revenge ahead of their six-woman match with Damage Control at Mania in a couple of weeks.
Terrible brawl incoming.
I was just going to say, a shortcut to a brawl. Charlotte and Rhea Ripley massively, massively overachieved. Typically, giving them two a fighting chance by having them fight each other was like a smart route to go with Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair. But it was like, it's better to be lucky than good, but it was lucky and good that they gave them that idea. The brawl felt real because when they hit each other quite hard and it looks convincing. I love all of these, actually, and yet a brawl doesn't feel, in the same way a backstage attack didn't particularly feel like the way to go with this, nor too will a brawl, and yet that's all I could visualise was just them in the crowd. You've got what you had with Rhea and Charlotte, but in three different places. So this brawl's happening over here, this brawl's happening over here. The fact that the attack happened backstage last week will lead the commentators to suggest that this just can't be contained and maybe they step it up or they allow you to expect that it's going to be weapons and a bit more bells and whistles at WrestleMania.
Needs some shortcuts, this thing.
It really does. It's just not hitting. It doesn't.
No.
It feels like it's reducing the prestige of the three big headliners. Bailey's dead in the water in this gimmick, and it's not elevating Io Sky and Dakota Kai. So who's it for?
Mm.
You know, this match doesn't feel like it's for anyone other than the wrestlers to have an obligatory place on the card.
I've got no thoughts on this, man. It's so uninspiring. It's one of those Triple H specials where I guess they're getting the heat in the right order, and then they'll get some kind of a brawl, and then they've taken somebody out backstage, and the heels are behaving as heels should, and baby faces are going to stand up for their fallen friend, and who cares? No one cares about this bollocks. It's so flat. It's such tedious television. It's such tick box, does this make logical sense in a pro wrestling storyline book, and that. There's no flair, there's no heat, there's no real feeling, animosity. It feels like a bunch of people playing parts.
You know,
not living them.
You know how the wrestlers were forced to either tell their own stories in the matches or do it on Twitter when Vince was in the chair? Unlike now, for example, when he's definitely not just back in the chair on Raw. Bailey's doing it on Twitter. Have you seen any of this at all? No. She's tweeted in the last few days a thing she wrote at school, which was all about Lita and how she wanted to be, not just be a WWE wrestler, but be Lita, basically. Everything that Lita was what she aspired to be as a teenager.
Put it on telly.
Yeah, she tweeted a picture of her and Trish.
Should have put it on Dynamite, Hamlet?
Should have put it on Dynamite. And this is what I'm saying, right? This is where I'm going. In a hotel hallway from WrestleMania 35 after the Iconics were legal, where like Trish Stratus just sat down with her and Sasha and were like, oh, this is terrible. Here's the you've got to eat, all that kind of stuff. And Becky Lynch.
Sure about that, but okay.
A picture of the two of them after she went to the hospital with Becky Lynch after Nia Jax broke her face. And there's a picture of Becky all bruised up and Bailey's with her and that. And I should have put it on Dynamite. Because, like,
yeah,
she's trying to obviously make this matter, probably as a professional in the knowledge that it doesn't,
yeah,
and nobody's really feeling anything. So Triple H should probably listen to his talent.
Yes.
And maybe give them something, give them a story that means something rather than, it's three of you and there's three of us.
You can only infer the reverence that Bailey holds Lita and Trish in.
Mm.
You can only infer it.
Mm.
As part of a really mechanical rote story beat. They should be deepening the heft and the emotion of this by putting that kind of material. It feels like a massive deal that it's going to be a massive deal to Bailey. None of this is on Dynamite. Remember when Riho and Emi Sakura, also matched Full Gear, and then we had to get told by someone in a thread on Twitter, this storyline actually kicks ass, but they're not even telling
it. Like 10 years of training and like how she broke
when
in
she was
and stuff.
Like a child and like, where are the same complaints? Where are the WWE leaning critics, WWE leaning analysts who write for outlets? They clearly prefer WWE to AEW, and that's fine, but where's the same energy?
Yeah, I think it's something you've said before as well about those dickheads. Know that there's not numbers in it.
You don't get a discourse from saying that WWE is not really presenting Trish Stratus as a massive legend. No one's talking about it because there's no like niche sect numbers.
Yeah.
The same 50,000 people talking about these things on Twitter.
What was the one that you got with, Wilborn? There was one you came into work the other day and was like, oh, he had me there and I got really cross.
Oh, God, yeah. It was something. Oh.
It was WWE, wasn't it? And
it was
just remember,
WWE.
How dare you? Like the
and I try not to get involved. Like I'm just twice in a day. I've promised to try and be above this, but I'm on Twitter. And I'm chronically addicted, and that's my fault. But God damn it! Why is no one talking about how flat and rubbish this is?
It's either way. It's been a damaged guitar thing since the off, isn't it? There's been
Triple
almost
H
no
isn't
conversation.
Very good apart from Ray. He's not very good at booking legends. Like Tony Khan, Sting versus Triple H, Trish Stratus. There's absolutely no comparison whatsoever.
In terms of comparison with Tony Khan, they're both absolutely horrific at booking women. So
but
they see
you book Sting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
it was someone said WrestleMania looks mid.
It was the
like,
card, wasn't it?
Start. I'm really sorry. I've really messed up, Sige, because I've clearly copied my notes over from last week, because I've just written down, can Bianca Belair and Asuka coexist? It's just that this week they're in tag action against Chelsea Green and Carmella rather than one of them facing one of the opposing team.
Per WrestleVote. there's going to be a four-way tag between Raquel and Liv, Natty and Shotzi. When did they become friends?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. It's rubbish. SmackDown.
I must have forgot it's to watch that one.
Must have forgot.
Must have forgot that one that I'm not professionally obligated to review. And Carmella and Chelsea Green and Ronda and Shayna. Maybe Carmella and Chelsea Green win this because an eventual match with, or an imminent match with Bianca Belair and Asuka because, Asuka and Bianca, turns out, can't coexist.
What?
And Asuka wants to miss her so she can get the all-important momentum ahead of WrestleMania.
I think so.
I agree.
Like, you know, she's been...
Triple H sucks. Why do you like it? I bet you don't have this energy in SmackDown when you do your little reviews.
SmackDown kicks ass, that's why.
Yeah, SmackDown does kick ass. And Ronda sometimes. Like, we come in here and we all kick ass.
You all kick ass, do you?
Yeah, we all. No, and you as well. We all kick ass.
I love dragging down your energy.
Running around. The blue, remind me of Goo Law, Mist Law. Because the blue one, which she's been drilling to spook her out, is not the one that's going to blind her, is it? Was it the Black Mist?
What does Black Mist do?
Kill you?
No. That's why I'm looking at you, Wilborn. What does Black Mist do?
Make you be sick.
I'm looking at you, Wilborn. What does Black Mist do?
I correct you.
Yes. I think Green Mist blinds.
Yeah, but temporarily.
Yeah.
Like the Red Mist burns. Not like set them on fire, but like Red Mist hurts. Anyway, there's Mist Law. So like she should...
Anyway.
She should make so that she can't see properly at WrestleMania, and then how's she going to whip it with her hair?
Oh, yeah.
We're making good on an absolutely terrible bit of booking.
Yeah. I forgot about this match until you reminded me about it. WWE haven't even advertised it either.
You're welcome.
I think Alan Cheapshot broke down the Mist stuff.
Mist Law. Because remember when, was it Paige got green misted? And she's like, I'm fine, just get away from me.
Yes.
Yeah, and she was like wiping it away with a
towel.
It hurts. But aye, we'll go with like one of the mists that seriously damages Bianca Belair's cornea. And puts her sort of hair-whipping capabilities in doubt for WrestleMania.
Mm.
And like you're thinking, well, Asuka, that's really smart. Why didn't you just do that to begin with? Rather than spooking her out by dribbling it.
Or going, there's your belt. Got it.
Well, why don't you... it's absolutely lame, isn't it?
I've got...
It's so poor.
It's something... Here you go, Sige. This is something I enjoy that is typically terrible about WWE at least once a year. I always kind of get a bit of a... buzz out of the match that dies in the stadium. Like, I don't know what it is, right? I think it was because I'd really gone off Chris Jericho when he had that one with CM Punk, and I'd really gone off Chris Jericho when he had that one with Edge, and I was just appalled that people were chanting, this is awesome, Edge and AJ, but I do quite like one of them dying in the stadium. And right now, I'm feeling like it's this one.
I made the exact same point in an article.
Work rate in it. Like,
in an article that I've written for whatculture.com/WWE entitled Predicting the Quality of All 13 WrestleMania 39 Matches, where I'm going to tell you what's going to pop and what's not. One of them is Bianca Belair versus Asuka, because ahead of her two-for-two classics, the builds have always been terrible.
Yes.
Remember, right, Brian Gewirtz on Twitter was like, see, guys, if you...
Hey guys, I'm Brian Gewirtz. I'm kind of a slow down, Stacks.
If Brian Gewirtz on Twitter was like, see, it's been a fantastic story all along, guys, because did you see the reaction that Bianca Belair and Becky Lynch got at WrestleMania? And it's like, ah, because they're two stars.
Yeah. What he said?
Yeah.
It's a bad thing.
Not being funny, right? Bianca Belair and Sasha was one of the worst can they coexist storylines ever. I understand that Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair went longer. Doesn't mean anything. Can you remember what the big heat angle was for Bianca Belair versus Becky Lynch ahead of WrestleMania last year? What was the big heat angle? What was the big thing that really heated up the match in their heads?
I've remembered. Can you remember or not?
No, not a clue.
Bianca Belair cut off a strand of Becky Lynch's hair, subsequent to which Bianca Belair got this incredibly cool new wave 80s looking haircut. Remember how awesome
Becky
her hair looked?
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, she cut hair and she's like, how could you? It's like, well, I'm setting you up to have this brand new look that's class. Like, yeah,
the big heat angle is that the baby face gave the heel a rather fetching haircut.
Because Becky Lynch wanted to cut the braid off.
Yes.
To, like, neutralise the weapon. She's like, don't cut my hair off, I'll cut your hair off.
And she just had a nice haircut.
Is this sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy? They're like, right, Bianca Belair seems to have bangers at WrestleMania, but the build has to be bad for it to settle.
Yes, yeah. That's it, Wilborn, you knacker. What I was getting at was the matches were still great and hot in spite of the bad builds, but I think the difference with poor Asuka is that her aura has evaporated, where she was once unsettling and genuinely quite a scary presence. Because the aura just no longer exists, everything she used to do, all the little body language tics and, you know, that kind of... Do you just flick your tongue out at me?
No, I just thought of something I was going to say afterwards.
Cunnilingus. Anyway, I don't know what he's doing. He's just look like he's
What match is Cunnilingus building to?
Judgment Day. Cunnilingus.
God, see,
basically, what I'm saying is
like...
Asuka is... Stop it! Asuka is considerably colder than Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. Yeah. And I think the streak's over. Like, I think it's...
Someone's going to die. It's always the way. Something in the stadium.
The exact point
dies.
I made in the intro, something in those stadiums, always days.
I kind of love getting to watch what it is. I don't know why. It's just a weird kink I've got. It's like, ugh, nobody cares about this. It's funny.
Now, what I was going to say is maybe they shouldn't have had Asuka lose her first ever match at WrestleMania. So she'd have some sort of aura about it. Like, she was going in with an undefeated WrestleMania record, yeah. And it's a very different scenario, because then you've got someone's always got to go.
Like, 800-odd days, and they had her sitting on the canvas crying. That sounds good. Really good.
Charlotte Flair really needed that victory.
Yep.
In opposite land. Right, let's talk about Impulsive TV Live, Hamflet.
I've got the mist. Sorry, I've got the mist.
Oh, yeah. You've got mist law.
I got Black Mist Crypt wrong, because even though it does now, because Julia Hart almost, she got corrupted.
Took a long time.
She left you. Green, this is Gordon Allen Cheap Shot. Green mist blinds, red mist burns, you got to read. Yep. Blue KOs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So well, how come she's not
Bianca Belair?
I've not asked her. Should she just be falling down on the mat? Should you dribble it? Yeah. It's the deck.
Maybe it's like the Princess Bride situation, where you can slowly build up an immunity to your own mist by having a little bit at a time. Yellow paralyzes, black blinds and poisons, sapping strength for a lengthy period of time.
So, black mist.
There was a bit of that with Park.
Explains why that referee was struggling so much in NXT as well.
Oh, yes.
With black goo.
Touch the back of the leg, speed up black goo.
Let's talk Impulsive TV Live. Logan Paul back on Monday Night Raw. Of course, ahead of his match with Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, the theme of which has been... Bye-bye, bitch.
I'm enjoying this. I like the Miz in this.
Yes.
I like the Miz as the guy that is, like, basically desperately at this point toadying up to Logan Paul. Spotting that he's outliving his usefulness in WWE. He's the host of WrestleMania. He should be above it, but he's not. He's kind of pointless at this point. So I've quite enjoyed how the Miz has been that guy for Logan Paul. But... Logan Paul left him laying. Seth Rollins probably gets his return shot tonight. I don't think it's any more complicated than that. Again, this is
why you love it, you boring bitch.
This is where I would say the criticism is absolutely fair. There needs to be thought and the storytelling and the plotting that there is in some of the bigger stories, that you can't just have the angle. Seth and Logan Paul had their thing at the Rumble, where Logan Paul eliminated him. Then Seth was like, all right, I'm going to move on. And then Logan attacks him in the chamber. He's like, I can't move on. You're not letting me. I'm going to have to fight you. And then Logan's like, all right then. And then I'll jump you from behind. It's actually developed.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Played out. There's been developments. There's been escalation. I worry that there isn't none now. That there's none left. Like, I'm really, really excited for the match. I want to see what they look like. Like, I want to, like, see what the physical chemistry is going to be, because I think there's, like, it opens itself up to a world of opportunity in terms of spots. Logan Paul's proven himself for me. Like, he can offer enough in these big, daft stadium shows. But I feel like angle-wise, I don't know if they've got any ideas left. I think it's just Seth gets... Is he even on Raw next week? Probably not. So it's like Seth gets the upper hand and it's like, there we go, WrestleMania set, fights The Miz on next week's show.
What is Impulsive TV?
So Impulsive is his podcast. which is often filmed for YouTube and what have you. So they're just doing a live version of this on Monday Night Raw, basically, with his mates that were there in Saudi during the Roman match. They're the lads who often pop up on it.
If WWE had, like, you know, just this good attitude instead of this terrible attitude where the only thing that exists is itself, they could have Logan Paul read out the very first four entries of Tyler Black's cage match listing. Said, guys, do you know what the first, just like with these co-hosts, chat, you know what Seth Rollins' first four cage match, you know what his first four matches were? Then he can say, I did my first matches at WrestleMania and then at SummerSlam. And then I headlined Crown Jewel and then I had a cameo in the Royal Rumble match. He could then say, who are these people and what are these companies? Seth Rollins, cage match. Hamfler, talk for 2 minutes. Ask him a trivia question or something.
I've got some ideas for this, by the way.
Oh, okay. Maybe you could do it.
So we talked a little bit about Baron Corbin, who's sneakily...
It's trickling down, isn't it? Yeah.
Baron Corbin, who reminded everyone that he's a Golden Gloves boxing champion, of course. If only there was a brother of Logan's who's also a boxer who could KO Baron Corbin when he tries to, I don't know, help for
get
whatever
involved,
reason tonight.
Become like part of that little crew that are on that podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I like that.
That's an idea. Or, I was thinking this, just as we were talking then, what was the last, and tell me if I'm wrong here, I'm thinking Jeff Hardy and Sheamus. The last piss-based storyline in WWE.
I think it was Jeff Hardy and Sheamus,
Well, all I'm thinking is, because Miz is such a sucking up little bitch right now to Logan Paul, because they're not going to have the Miz drink Prime and be like, ugh, that's horrible, because it's obviously doing pretty well for itself. Yeah. But what if Logan Paul's like, because he's such a knobhead, in storyline, obviously, and, out of it. But what if he's like, watch this, boys, like the, you know, knobhead chads in the, you know, teen comedy, pisses in a Prime bottle and says, oh, Miz, try this, it's a new Prime flavour. And Miz has to drink it and sell it as delicious.
Or, and then as soon as they leave, he goes like, and then as soon as they leave, he spits it in Baron Corbin's
face.
There you go. Tick, done.
His stuff.
Could they, it's a podcast, isn't it? Could they say, like, we're so popular that, like, just by being on Raw tonight, we're going to be, like, the number one wrestling podcast and then go and check the charts and then that's how we get a name check?
That's the closest we'll ever get to, yeah.
It's time to play the game!
To mean it. So, I have done my research, and they could have a little laugh at Tyler Black's pathetic career on their indies. So here's a game, some trivia questions for you. What was the year and month of Tyler Black not working under that name? His very first professional match, as recorded by cagematch.net.
Reminded me a great bit of Seth Rollins' patter I'll get to after this game.
2004.
I was going to say
month.
November.
It's August 2004.
Bloody hell.
What was his ring name?
I don't know.
Colby.
CM Lopez. Because he would have been a punk guy and his real name's Lopez. I think.
Colby Jones.
All right, Taz. Gicks.
Excuse you?
Gicks.
Or Jicks.
Jicks.
Because it's G-I-X-X. I remember reading that.
Gicks, yeah.
Gicks.
Yeah. It's got a bit of those Jeff and Matt Omega wrestling at home deal, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's Gicks. Then he comes out in a mask and it's like Gicks' evil twin, Gax, or something like that.
He defeated in his first ever match, according to Cage Match, it might not be, a wrestler called what?
I don't know, man.
Just guess an indie name.
Max
Tits
Jerkle. Where?
So is that like Jekyll and Hyde, but Jerkle and Clive or something.
I don't know.
Jerklin Clive. You won't like me when I'm Jerkle, but Clive's all right.
Where?
Basically,
if you come up with any kind of like
UK
or American like dive is a joke, you're probably closer than you'd think.
Like a dodgy motorbike bar in Iowa.
Yeah.
You got the place right.
It's Iowa, yeah. Jack's Wheelhouse.
The Pigsty is the name of a local bar.
Don's Pub.
That's enough.
Don's Pub.
So, yeah, you were wrestling in Don's Pub whilst I was wrestling in...
WrestleMania.
Yeah. That's good.
You were a tiny little thing happening in bars, Seth, while I was on the biggest stage of them all.
Yes.
Quite literally a tiny thing happening in bars.
Nice little dig at Triple H in there as well.
Oh, that means it's not going to happen.
Because he doesn't know it's...
I worked... it was Gix versus Jerkel and Triple H's big cock arms.
And then he brings out Jerkel. Jerkel can't believe it. He's got a pain. Yeah. He's going to Raw. Yeah, I was doing some research for an article that you can read soon on What Culture Wrestling about the stupidest reasons for wrestlers hating each other. And apparently, like in the dying days of WCW, Sting was just telling Insane Clown Posse they couldn't use black and white face paint. Like, I've got the trademark to that. And this is the man that apparently charges Sting from the police like $1 a year. It's like a nice gentleman's agreement to be Sting.
Yeah.
The nicest guy, Steve Borden, all that sort of thing. Apparently not to the Insane Clown Pod. Things were tense, weren't they?
Yeah.
In the WCW. And this was a story told by Shaggy Two Dope. And he's like he's basically...
I didn't know that $1 to Sting.
Yeah, that's apparently the case. You can see it on a few sites, like enough to corroborate it that they've got a bit of an agreement.
Content in that.
Sweet. Yeah, might be. But anyway, so he's saying like, it's Shaggy Two Dope, I think, is saying... Like, it's from, like, 2020, or to early 2021. Doesn't know about AEW or Sting being there or whatever. He's like, so where's this Sting now? Like, he got his back broken by Roman Reigns, homie. What's his name? Steve Rogan? Seth Rogan? That guy wrestled him to death. It's just like this...
stream of consciousness nonsense.
Steve Rogan?
Steve Rogan's a great name. Or, I've just had a thought, because Seth likes to wear his outlandish outfits... Logan Paul tries to drench him in Prime, but it backfires.
Yes. Prime from the ceiling? Have you already pitched this one about 3 podcasts ago?
Probably.
Yeah.
He sets in like a white fur coat or something. Prime. Prime from the ceiling is pretty good. It's pretty great.
Finally, Sige, thought I'd say something for you here. It's not been advertised, but it was, you know, meant to go down last week until someone was,
was
not cosmetically cleared to compete because... Maximum Male Models are meant to be in action tonight against Gallows and Anderson, as they were last week. But more importantly than all that, what's next for
Otis?
That was great last week. Is he getting pulled more into Maxime Dupri's web
of
corruption?
Yes. Yes, that's precisely what's going to happen.
Yes! I love it!
Clearly sexually attracted to the bombshell blonde.
Yeah.
And she's using him because he could be the muscle of Maximum, of the model trio. Because I don't want to do alliteration.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the work of bad people who... won't say it. I don't know how to fantasy book this thing anymore. They've already done the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
The reveal of you could hear it before you could see it. So you had this idea of, oh my God, is Otis going to be modeling? And then when he saw it, it was even more preposterous and silly and funny than you could actually think in your mind's eye. So that was a really neat bit of physical comedy and comedy timing. What could he do tonight?
Well, I'm thinking, could one of the Maximum World Honors still not be cosmetically cleared to compete and then be like,
it's
why don't you step
the debut. Debutante.
It's, they're fighting the Good Brothers, so could we abandon this match forever? Because, not just because I don't want to watch it, but you know how there's this...
it's barely going to exist.
Yeah, this exhibition tag thing. I know that we've got the rumoured teams that are out there already, but could next week on Raw, we have Maximum Male Models taking on Alpha Academy, but Gable goes out there alone, and he's waiting to see if... What's the guy's name? Comes out either on his side... or to join the Maximum Male Models, and we get the reveal. And then that's the last team that qualifies for the Showcase 4-way. Better than the Viking Raiders qualifying, Christ almighty. Who wants to watch them anymore?
Right, let's know your thoughts ahead of Monday Night Raw tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Wash, they can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and Hamflett already today have reviewed SmackDown, and myself and Sidge reviewed Rampage, and if you subscribe, our review of Monday Night Raw, complete with a 5-star review, which you can still suggest on Apple Podcasts, or if you want to go on Spotify, leave us a 5-star review, screenshot it.
We need the proof.
And then email it to me, adam.wilborn at whatculture.com. But yes, if you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, our Raw review will drop into your feed tomorrow as soon as it is released. But for now, it's been the Raw preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.